Oh, here we go. See, if I had just clicked record like a minute, just a minute earlier, man, we had some good stuff, man. Shout out to my man, Mel Gordon. People are probably like, what did we just walk into? You know, we just listening to this thing. We done came into the middle of something. Hey, it's a deep cover, Fire Zone show crossover. Got to do it big because it's the Ravens in the divisional playoff round coming up this Saturday, man. It feels like it's been a minute since the Ravens have played, since the Ravens have played. I mean, I know they played the Steelers, but you know, we had a couple of guys sitting down, but it feels like it's been a while since they've played, and it's here, and we're here to chop it all up, man. Talk about it, see what we think about it, how we feel about it. I got to get some stuff out of my head, so let me go around because I'm still thinking about stuff. I'm gonna keep laughing about it. Hey, man, look, I'm so happy that we're back doing this. Got my guys, Carrie, Chris, Denar, we all here. Oh man, it's been a while for people who you know listen in to DCP. If for some reason it's like people be tapping into one or the other. I don't know if people be tapping into both. They should, but whatever reason, they pick one or the other. It's been a while since DCP has done his thing, so it's good to be back on that end. And of course, Fire Zone Show. You know, we've been kicking it kind of strong. You know, it's mostly Denard. I always give him that credit because I'm struggling. Y'all know how I do. I be struggling hard. He's like, nah, man, come on, we got to record this show. So we get it done. But hey, man, I'm glad that we're here. Excited to talk about all of this and. Y'all know who it is. I'm not even going to do the go around the room. Everybody's good, right? Y'all cool?
Yes, everybody cool? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get it. As long as I'm free, I'm good.
Don't do it. See, you trying to pull me back in. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm not falling for it. I'm falling for it. Try to get me like Jonathan Majors.
Hit those high notes. Keep it stepping. Keep it hopping.
What Cass say, they will delete. You won't even be able to look at a comic book.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. He was crazy. All right. Ravens, Texans. Okay. So, we all know they played way back in week one. I think we all pretty much agree. You kind of have to, like, toss that out because it was so long ago. The teams are different. You know, yeah, you got some of the same personnel, but it's just – so much has happened, right, since week one up to now with both of these teams that you do kind of have to, you know, feel like you can't take a whole lot away from that game and just kind of look at what they've been doing recently the last couple of games. Of course, the Ravens really got to go back to that Dolphins game before, like, the squad, you know, the real squad was out on the field, and we remember how they did them. But the Texans, man, they just beat the brakes off the Browns. Week before that, they basically had like that play-in game, or I guess it was for the division, with the Colts, which was a close one. And the Texans, you know, they're playing well right now. So I guess I'll just say, let's start on that side right now. What do y'all think about, you know, what you've seen from the Texans these last couple of weeks? If you just want to talk about the last game, however you want to do it. Anybody who want to start it off, man, just start it.
I mean, I watched a lot of the Colts game, and I saw a team that was hungry, that likes to play for their coach, and they listen. They're a young team that is fast. They understand what they're trying to do. We talked about it off air a little bit about, you know, their style of offense is kind of something we've seen because of, you know, Kyle Shanahan and that tree. What I saw against Cleveland was an offense that took advantage of a defense that is very aggressive, and you kind of know what they're doing when you put them into formations they don't like. If you need an example, any time prior to 2020 for the Ravens, that was our big problem against good coordinators who can manipulate formations and just say, I can put you in a bind, just by your by our formation. And I know your rules, so you're not going to cover that. And that's what you saw with the Texans. So this week coming up, I expect they're going to stick to what they do best, which is throwing deep and working in some, you know, strategic run game to kind of outflank you. And it's just a matter of if the Ravens defense can be up to speed quickly. You don't want to get behind in a game where, you know, there may not be a lot of possessions. So you got to be firing all cylinders from the word go.
They've been going up top. Gary, you mentioned that about how aggressive they have been recently and kind of wondering if they would stay that aggressive against the Ravens because, you know, it's a different defense than some of the defenses they faced recently. But it's been like old school deep shots, under center, seven-step play action, seven-man protection, and Nico Collins just running by people. when I watch him, I'm like, man, this I remember him coming out of Michigan. You know, I think a lot of us probably talked about him, you know, kind of had a good feeling about him. But a dude that size, 6'4", over 200 pounds, you watch him, if you give him a runway to, like, get up to speed, he is hard to handle, right? And I think I heard something today where they said that Andre Johnson, I don't know what his role is exactly with the Texans, but, you know, him and Nico have been kind of working pretty closely together. And you can kind of see that, right? You can kind of see some – because Andre was a little bit like that. Andre was even bigger. But you give him that runway – and it's hard to deal with them dudes once they get going.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, like I was telling you guys before we jumped on, they had been a team that early downs, they were doing a lot of, you know, just running, you know, 2-3 yards in a cloud of dust. And that part has been pretty predictable for them. But then you get to this Cleveland game, and it was bombs away. You know, they saw that. I think really Stroud had been strong and really kind of killing cover three defenses all year, you know, especially at home. And a lot of people were kind of wondering how that would look with Cleveland, with what they like to do as far as that single high look. But when you look at what Cleveland does, they're not adjusting anything. They're going to let no corners play. They're going to go out there. They're going to try to jam you up, try to beat you up. And Houston said, okay, we got something for y'all this time. And they just were relentless with it. Early down, like you said, play action, and they were taking their shots. The difference in this one is you're not dealing with a defense that's as rigid as Cleveland is. You know, maybe if this is past years and Wink was here, you know, I'd be a little bit more scared. But you're talking about a Ravens defense that's going to mix coverages, you know, that's going to play some man, that's going to play some zone, that's going to let the game come to them defensively and not be so worried about, you know, trying to get a kill shot, trying to get, you know, a splash play necessarily. You know, if you can get it good, but, you know, Denard has said this a lot. Hey, you want to dink and dunk? Be my guest. Once you get to that green zone, now you got to come to me.
Yeah,
and that's what I think is going to be the difference in what you see come Saturday, because you know the numbers bear it out with Stroud, as good as he is, as great as he's played, as much of a elevator he's been to that whole situation. I think he's averaging like 220 something yards passing on the road for the season. So, and they're down weapons on offense. You know, Tank Dell isn't there. Noah Brown just went on IR. It's not like I expect them to have a poor game or anything like that. I'm just saying that, you know, this is a different animal that he's going to be facing on Saturday for sure.
It definitely is. It's a little bit different than that, Brian. What you about to say something, Chris?
No, I was just agreeing. Like it's a completely different animal because you have the scheme and you have the talent right now on the Ravens defense. And that's what we've seen, you know, these high powered offenses struggle with when they come see the Ravens defense. And when you look across the league, you don't see these matches of talent and scheme. You know, I think with Cleveland, you know, they have a lot of talent on there, but that scheme was definitely exposed there, and the lack of discipline. And we, you know, like Kerry and Denard said, you know, I know Denard has said it for years when it came to Wink's defense that, you know, those dudes just play like it's just an undisciplined defense. And that's what we saw with Cleveland last week. They were just undisciplined, not where they needed to be. And, you know, they'll have those flashes, those flash plays, like, you know, we saw with Wink. But with the Ravens, they're going to keep everything in front of you. They're not going to give up the big plays. And they're just going to play solid, sound, disciplined defense. And, you know, if you want to dink and dunk them, that's cool. But like Kerry said, once you get into that red area, things tighten up a little bit. And we've seen that all throughout the year where they're able to kind of just hunker down. You know, they'll let you get those runs. All right, yeah, you got a nice little 7-yard run, you know, down the field. But then when you get in that red area, you know, these guys, you know who they want to turn into. You know, they want to pass that ball. They don't want to play the, you know, that grimy style of running the ball, you know, all the way down your throat. And these guys just have to pass the ball. And eventually that's what they do. We saw it in the Rams game. You know, they were having – Kyron Williams was having a bunch of success. And they go back to what they love, that pass. And you know, it works out in the Ravens' favor. And I think just on defense, I think it's a mismatch. I mean, not to take anything away from the Texans, but when you look at Cleveland and then you look at the Ravens, I think it's a completely different thing. Although, you know, the Cleveland defense, they played well all season, but the Ravens have just done it against so many quality offenses and have been able to sustain it for the whole year. So it's night and day for me when you talk about, you know, the Ravens against this Texans offense.
Yeah, and I think that kind of high level, like thinking about the schemes is interesting to me because we talked about it a little bit about how what the Texans do is kind of off of that Shanahan tree. Because, you know, if you kind of peel it back and you think about when Kyle, you know, really started kind of rolling out there with the 49ers, even, I mean, obviously he has some good seasons with the Falcons and he had that stop in Cleveland for a year. But when he went out to the NFC, you know, that was still kind of like tail end of like LOB. And like it was his offense that really kind of exposed that single high cover three. I remember a game they played up there in Seattle. And it was like that was the game that like broke him. And like everybody in the league after that started using the same concepts against them to attack that cover three. And it was like it was broken. It was done. And McVay kind of did the same thing being out there with the Rams. And that kind of, you know, you started to see the beginning of the shift away from a lot of single high defense to more two high type structures. You know, again, it's all cyclical or whatever. But I think that's kind of what you saw a little bit in that Cleveland game is that Slowick, who's off that tree, it's like, look, if you're going to play a lot of post safety defense, whether it's cover one, cover three, whatever, we got every cover one and cover three beater known to man. Cause that's kind of how this offense evolved. That was the foe, right? If you look at it, like put it superhero terms, that was the arch nemesis back in that day, right? Because that's what everybody was running predominantly back then. And now it's kind of shifted away from that. But again, I think what Kerry, Chris, all y'all touched on it, I think part of the reason that the Ravens have had success against, you know, some of the offenses off this tree recently is because they're different than that. You know what I mean? Denard and I talked about this earlier. When I watch them, a lot of what they do is really schemed up, particularly in the passing game. And it's really to take advantage of undisciplined play. If you're undisciplined, yeah, they're going over your head. That's just what they're going to do. If you are undisciplined, guys are going to get open because there's a lot of misdirection. There's a lot of formational stuff. There's a lot of motion stuff. And if you're not disciplined with your keys, with your eyes, then, yeah, it's going to be a long day for you. But the Ravens defense in those two games that we talked about against the 49ers and the Dolphins, it's like Denard was saying, I'm just going to be simple. The more complicated you want to make it look, the simpler I'm going to get on defense. And I'm just going to make you come to me and be disciplined in what we're doing. And you saw with Brock Purdy, you saw how they affected him. You saw with Tua, how they affected them. Those guys want to get the ball out. You know what I'm saying? It's 2-3 seconds, get the ball out. First read, get the ball out. So you start to make them go through progressions, and it's not that they can't do it. Obviously, we've seen CJ do it too. But when they're getting to that second and third progression in the offense, if the offensive line can give them that amount of time, you know, it's the initial reads that are really schemed up in that offense. It's the first or second ones. It's like, hey, here's the big hit, right? We get to these other ones. These are checkdowns, which, again, can be fine, but that's that dink and dunk, right? We want to keep the lid on. Yeah, go ahead.
You can't live in this league on a dink and dunk. Just ask Joe Flacco. You just can't, because eventually you got to come to me. And if you're not, you're just going to be kicking a bunch of field goals.
It's just hard to score enough to win games that way when you're trying to go consistently go on 10, 11, 12 play drives. It's hard, right? With the way the defenses are playing right now, we've gotten away from some of that man-heavy stuff, and teams are more willing, Ravens classic example, to kind of sit back in zone, keep everything in front of them. They're mixing some pressures here and there, but for the most part, if that's how you want to live, go ahead. We don't think you can beat us that way. We don't think you can win the game doing that. So they're more than content a lot of times to give you some of that underneath stuff. And then, you know, if the offense is doing their job, game script gets out of hand. Now you can't just sit there and dink and dunk because you're behind by two scores. And now it's, you know, unleash the hounds, right? You let them guys up front start to hunt, and it just becomes a snowball of, like, mistakes at that point, which – we've talked about that on the Fire Zone all season long, probably going back to when Mike McDonald first got hired. If they get you into that kind of game script, that kind of game situation where they've gotten up on you and they can force you into, you know, one-dimensional ball, straight drop back, you can't throw off play action, you can't throw off RPOs, you're in trouble. Right. You're in serious trouble when they get you there. And the Texans have been able to play that way these last couple of games for the most part. They've been able to do what they want to do on script. If you get these teams off script, man, that's not just the Texans. That's just across the league. That's just ball. If you can get somebody off the way that they want to play and force them to play you the way you want them to play, then, you know, you're probably going to have an advantage. And the Ravens have just done that masterfully this year, right? In the big games against the best teams, these games that we were rightfully, you know, wondering how it was going to be going down the end stretch of the season. Okay, these are tough matchups, and they just rolled people, you know, outside of that Rams game, which they were coming off the bye. But outside of that, they just rolled people.
Look at the Detroit game. Ben Johnson has been giving people the blues for 2 years now. And it's like none of it matters because, you know, they got them into a space where they couldn't dictate and they couldn't force the team couldn't force them to kind of react to what they're doing. And when you look at Houston, you look at San Francisco, you look at that tree, that offense, you know, it's built off of, we're going to start with this. We want you to overcommit, overcompensate in some way, and then we build in counters off of that. You know, that's the basis of that offense. I mean, that's the basis of a lot of offense, but especially that offense. Well, the Ravens are a team that doesn't panic in that way. They don't overcompensate in that way. They don't get, you know, too up and too down. You know, you've seen teams this year be able to put nice drives together as far as going the length of the field. And then they get down there and they have to settle for three and they have to settle for three again. You know, they don't panic because a team can, you know, put together three or four 10-yard games because they know what the end goal is. The end goal is it doesn't matter unless you get into the end zone. So, you know, that's what it's going to be about. To me, it's going to be pivotal that they're able to stop the run, you know, with light boxes. And, you know, as much as I talk about what Stroud has done on the road, just all around, he's just still extremely talented dude. And you don't want to give anybody that talented more chances. So, you know, if they can slow that run game down enough to you know, keep it in third and six, third and seven all the time, you know, obviously that's something that's going to help them. And Singletary, not the greatest back in the world, but he's a great fit for that scheme. He runs hard, breaks tackles. He's going to get what you give him and some more. So, I'd imagine that we won't see this aggressive, you know, gun-ho play action, throwing it all over the field that we saw against Cleveland, against Baltimore. I'd imagine they're going to keep it more to what they've been doing the whole year, running on first and second down, you know, trying to mix in some play action. So, you know, stopping the run on early downs with light boxes, to me, is going to tell me a lot as far as how this game is going to go. You know, if they're keeping them in check with the run game in that way, to me, it's going to be tough sledding for Houston to try to put up points and win this game.
Yeah. And tackling, you mentioned the key thing there about Singletary breaking tackles, because it's been a little bit of a layoff. Something I'll be looking on. Okay, how are they going to tackle early on? What's that going to look like? Because we've seen, going back to the earlier part of the season, because I think they had a little bit of a lull with that at, you know, kind of middle of the season, but then they tightened it back up. Early part of this season, we all talked about it just like separately. Like, this is the best tackling Ravens defense we've seen in a while. Like, these dudes, they were missing no tackles.
1 through 11.
Early on in the season. And, you know, another feature of this, you know, Shanahan style offense is right? They want to get the ball in people's hands early, get it to them behind the line of scrimmage, right at the line of scrimmage, and let guys run, you know, after the catch. So, you know, if you can tackle those guys before they get started, we, you know, me and Denard have talked about Kyle Hamilton. He's the perimeter eraser, right? All of this stuff that people want to do laterally, perimeter swing, perimeter screens, all that quick stuff. He erases it. That part of your game plan is gone when he's healthy and he's on point. That stuff's just not there anymore. So, yeah, I'll be looking at that tackling thing. But I wanted to ask y'all about the offense, too, because we talked a lot about the defense, rightfully so. But this Ravens offense, obviously everybody knows about Lamar and the MVP, you know, type season that he's had. But outside of Stingley at corner, and Stingley, you know, Stingley's a dude. Stingley definitely has started to live up this season to what he, you know, was billed to be coming out of college. I know he was injured last year, but this year he started to look like, okay, this could be like a legit, you know, shutdown type corner type dude. But outside of that, I mean, Steve Nelson, kind of a journeyman. He's been around. We've seen him at Pittsburgh and some other places. Their safeties, I think they're good in the run game. Petrie, particularly, good in the run game, but I don't know, you know, if he's anybody you're worried about, you know, in the passing game. And I think they got DeAndre Houston Carson and somebody else splitting snaps at free safety. So now you're talking about Zay Flowers, a healthy Odell Beckham, Rashad Bateman, you know, got more confidence, you know, those last few games of the season. Isaiah Likely. I'm not going to mention Denard's boy. and you got the running back, Dalvin Cook, now added to the mix, right? We've already seen what Justice Hill and Gus has done all year. Now you're going to throw Dalvin Cook into the mix. This is a different offense than what the Texans saw last time around. I mean, they're cooking. You know, they were cooking. You know, that's another one of my concerns, is how they look coming off this, you know, this time that they've had off. Hopefully they won't, you know, have too much rust on them. But there's a lot of weapons on this Ravens offense and the Texans defense. The one thing I'll say is I think they're similar in this way, that they're not gimmicky. You know what I mean? D'Amico, you know, his background, they're going to line up. They're going to play what they play. and that's it. So, you know, structurally, they're a little bit different than the Ravens defense, but just philosophically, they're not gimmicky, right? They're pretty sound. They're pretty solid. So, you know, you're not going to necessarily have to worry about that part of it. Like, oh, man, they're going to throw a bunch of junk stuff at us that we never seen before. I think you pretty much know what they're going to do and they're going to be who they're going to be. But when you just start to look at individual matchups, like when it comes down to that, you're just like, I don't know, man. Ravens got a lot of firepower they can throw at these boys.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm glad you mentioned that too about Stingley, because Stingley had pretty much stayed on one side for a lot of the year. But last week he shadowed Amari Cooper a lot. Yeah. And I wonder what their approach is going to be this coming week. Now, is that him shadowing Amari Cooper, is that about Amari Cooper lighting him up for like 265
yes.
a few weeks ago?
Yes.
Yes. Is that 100% that? You know what I mean? So, but the rest of that secondary to me is not, again, they're sound. You know, the whole defense is sound. They play sound football, but I do see vulnerabilities there with the other corners and those safeties. And I'm excited to see this Ravens offense where everything kind of gets ramped up, because I think the last, not week 18, because, you know, they set a lot of guys, but week 17, I think Rashad Bateman had his highest route share of the season. He was pretty much like 80-something percent of the routes in week 17. You know, we talked about it all year with Beckham, with them kind of holding his snaps in check. You know, I expect that to kind of get ramped up now that it's the playoffs. So
yeah, it's time yeah. now. Take the governor off.
Right. Yeah. So to me, I'm thinking you're going to see a lot of you know, obviously Zay, Beckham and Bateman, you know, the three guys you envision coming in as your top three. I think you're going to see them have the most kind of more dominant portion of the snaps this coming week. And then obviously we don't know what's going to happen with Mark, but Isaiah Likely is a guy that you can't take off of the field. So that, you know, that gives you another option as well. So, like you said, a lot of weapons. You know, Justice was playing great, making plays out of the backfield, you know, before this break. You know, we know what Gus brings. I'm interested to see what Dalvin Cook brings. I'm not going to hold the Jets situation against him. You know, a bad offensive line, a bad quarterback play, a quarterback that doesn't have any gravity. And now you're putting him in a situation where he's playing with a quarterback that has the ultimate gravity. Like the offensive line is playing well.
It's like a black hole. He sucks up everything that even gets near him.
So, you know, this is just this is going to be a different world for Dalvin Cook compared to what he was playing in. I mean, he's going to – and the first time he touches the ball and he sees an edge defender kind of hesitate, like, wait, hold on, you're not crashing down? Like, he's going to be, like, completely confused. So, you know, I'm interested to see what it is he can bring to the table. So, you know, all in all, man, it's just – it's a lot of weapons. And, you know, only thing you hope is that, you know, they whatever rust is there, they shake it off pretty early.
He might have forgot what a 6-7 man box looked like. He ain't seen that man of boxes with the Jets. What the safety's doing back there? Why are they so far back there? He ain't gonna know what to think. He come out here and see two safeties back there. What in the world is going on here? But you got to worry about all of that you just laid out, and then still the MVP. You still got to deal with eight back there. You get eyes, you account for all of that other stuff, and you give him a crease, and he'll crib it. He will crib it on you, and there's no game planning for that. there's no plan for that when that happens.
And we talked about that before, like on our, you know, our little chat, when I said, when you look I've been harping on this, you know, ever since the playoffs. Everybody's weaknesses get exposed. But in games like this, you have to be great at something. In the wild card, you can get hot. You can do things. For some reason, when you're getting this divisional round, you've got to have something that is great you do. And what teams have to game plan for. If I'm not game planning for a player, I feel better about my game plan as a whole, as a defensive coordinator. So having all that in front of you, you look at the Texans, what do you fear? Good football team, but is there someone like, we don't stop him, we have no chance of winning this football game? Or they run the football great, or they do this amazing. I don't see that. On the Ravens side, obviously, like you said, you got eight. That is the biggest X factor of them all. Because we can be sitting there and be down, but as long as there's time on the clock and you got eight, you know you're in the ball game.
Mm-hmm. You remember that Titans playoff game, right? That run, yeah. Right? It was kind of back and forth, and then that run right before halftime, and Vrabel's like, we can't tackle it. We don't have anybody on our team who can tackle it.
Right.
There's no plan for that. It's like we did everything right in terms of getting pressure, in terms of playing coverage. He decides to tuck it, and we can't tackle it. We got 11 guys, and there's not one of them, not two of them together that can tackle it.
Right.
That is a problem.
That is the biggest issue when you have a team like the Ravens. Like, what do you do with that? What do you do everything correctly defensively? And I think Dan Olasky says it a lot, but Lamar can take 6, 7, 8 plays where you should be getting off the field on third down, and he'll get a first down, and they go down and score a touchdown because he took that negative play where you should have been off the field, turn it into a first down, and they go on and score. So I look at it like this. Everyone wants to point at 2019 and be like, oh, it's kind of the same setup. It's completely different. Obviously, the players are different. But Monken understands offense, and he understands I need to adjust to what my team is on the field today and what they're giving me. I'm not going to come in there and say I'm going to throw it 65 times against the Titans team that secondary and front four were balling. And that was our game plan, and we never deviated from that. I don't see that happening. I see an offensive coordinator who's prepared for any scenario. I believe this team understands that it's not about numbers. It's about putting a W on the board. So if that's Lamar throwing for 140 and rushing for 70, and we only put up 23 points, that means our defense is doing everything in their power to keep this team under 13 points. So we manage the game. And that's what I want to see on Saturday. I want to see this team manage this football game. You don't have to beat the brakes off of them. Manage the football game. Score when you need to score. Understand the scenario. Take a sack when you need to take a sack. Punt the football when you need to punt the football. Understand where you are in the ball game and control it and not have to fight for momentum for the whole game.
And John Harbaugh would love everything you just said. That's that whole winning football thing, right? That complimentary football that he talks about all the time. He would love everything you just said. The thing we talked about, Monken, even though, you know, we primarily focus on defense, we've talked about Monken a couple times throughout the show. And I keep saying it. I know I've said it probably a bunch of times. He understands the difference between calling plays and calling an offense. Calling a game, excuse me, between calling plays and calling a game. Because he'll do whatever the game requires, just like you described. He's not like locked into here's what we were planning to do. We sticking to this come hell or high water, right? It depends. If that's what's working, okay, we'll stick with it. If that's not what's working, okay, you know, if they want to, you know, take our passing game away, our downfield passing game away, all right, we'll run the ball and we'll throw screens. We'll throw it underneath. No big deal, right?
No big deal.
You want to stack the box, try to take the run game away, okay, we'll throw in some more play action. We'll try to go over your head, whatever you want to do, you know. And he has said all season long that it's not about him. And I think that's kind of a big departure between him and G-Ro. Y'all know how I felt about G-Ro. But that's a big departure from him and G-Ro, because with G-Ro, you got this feeling like it was about him, right? And a lot of times it was about him. It's my offense. This is about me. And you never get that sense from Mock. You always get that sense when Mock, and it's like, hey, it's about these guys. It's about Lamar. It's about, he's like, if Lamar don't like it, we don't put it in the game plan. He's like, I don't care what it is. I don't care what the play is. If he don't like it, it ain't going. It could be a play I've run my whole life, everywhere I've been. If he don't want it, it ain't it. You know what I mean? And that's what it should be about, because these are the guys that got to go out there and play. So it's got to be what they do, not necessarily what you do. I was reading some article this week, totally tangent, off topic. But anyway, it's about Patrick Graham, the Raiders DC, right? And that's what he said. He was like, there is no Patrick Graham playbook. It's what the players can do. That's what I call what they can do. That's how, and he said, I build it around that. When you got Max Crosby, you build it around Max Crosby. Okay? Right. That's the playbook. We build it around that. And he talked about a specific example. He was like, you know, Max is more comfortable in a four down front as like a typical, you know, hand in the dirt defensive end in a four man front. He's more comfortable doing that. And he's like, I've primarily played a lot of 3-4 structures where he'd be an outside backer and standing up in my defense. In places I've been in the past, but that's not what he's best. That's not what he's most comfortable at. So he's like, you know what? We're going to play more four down front because that's what our best player on defense is more comfortable doing. Right. And I think Monken, he gives me that same feel. We're going to do whatever our players are most comfortable doing. And it starts with your quarterback, and whatever eight is most comfortable doing, that's what we're going to do. So I feel like it's really hard to prepare for a team like that. Because they'll adjust throughout the game, right? You'll come in with a plan, say, hey, we want to do this, this, and that. And then they adjust. And then it's like, okay, now can you adjust to the adjustment? And then if you start doing that, well, that can get tricky too. You know what I'm saying? You can start getting in your own mind defensively, you know. And I don't know. I don't know that it doesn't seem like D'Amico operates that way. Like I said, I think D'Amico is pretty much, he knows what he wants to do defensively, and we're going to be true to who we are and do what we do. But, you know, I don't know, man. I think Monken makes it tough for people because he's going to do what's required in terms of how he calls the game. And I know it frustrates people sometimes because they're like, how come they keep doing this? Or how come they keep doing that? And it's like, he's trying to control this thing. Like Denard said, he's trying to control the game and win the game. Right. And it don't matter what it looks like.
No.
Right. You know, why are we handing the ball to Justice Hill, you know, to try to get 2 yards? Why ain't Gus in there? You know, there's reasons behind all of this stuff, right, that he's doing. And sometimes it might not seem like it makes sense, but it's like, hey, look, there's a rhyme and a reason. There's a method to the madness behind why I'm doing this. And it's kind of hard to argue with the results in terms of how they've performed up to this point. But That's where I'm trying not to be overconfident, because you just never know. I mean, you still got to line up and play, but it just feels like it's going to be a challenge for this Texans defense dealing with this Ravens offense, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then when you look at their schedule, who's the most talented quarterback they face? Like, is Trevor Lawrence, maybe?
Stop.
Minshew. Minshew said, I might be little right here, but I'm not little everywhere.
Lawrence is approaching not bust territory, but mediocre.
You know where he's going. He's going that Justin Herbert. He's on that Justin Herbert track.
Yeah.
these are the teams that they face. Since Jacksonville. So this is why I say he's probably the best one, because it's been Russell Wilson, it's been Zach Wilson, it's been Tennessee, Cleveland, Indianapolis. Mm. And that's not anywhere near Lamar. Mm-mm. Anywhere near what Lamar can do.
All of them combined is not.
So that Texans defense, they might be in for a shock, because week one Lamar, that's not the Lamar of this time. And that not even the fumbling, bumbling. And in the offensive line, too, I think half those guys were still in Cancun the way that they were moving. Because if you watch Kevin Zeitler, like, he's just, like, his feet are just stuck in the mud when Will Anderson is rushing from the inside. Like, he just doesn't know what the hell's going on. And, you know, at an advanced age, it takes your body a little time to, you know, get up to speed. And
warm up.
Yeah. And I mean, just the way that the offensive line has been performing over the last few weeks, you know, obviously excluding the Steelers game because a lot of those guys were out. But when you look at how they've been performing, like, it's leaps and bounds better than week one. Because week one, it was the first half was just dreadful for the offensive line. So I think, you know, this Texas defense, and then, you know, like we were saying off air too, you know, they're coming in hobbled. Jonathan Grenard, talented dude, but he wasn't even able to finish the game last week against Cleveland because he's just been battling injuries. Will Anderson's been battling injuries. They're not going to have Jerry Hughes. So, you know, they're not even 100% right now. So I just think that it's just going to be one of those things where I think the Ravens are just going to overwhelm them. Like I said, on the defensive side, you know, when it comes to just talent and scheme and marrying those two things together, and you put into account that they're going to be at home, and, you know, how focused this team seems, like, just across the board. It's not just, oh, we want to go to the Super Bowl. It's not just saying it. It's like living and dying by it, you know, and you see the maturation of this team compared to the 2019 run. And it's that's probably one of the best things that actually happened to Lamar is 2019, because everything was easy. You know, it was easy. I'm proving the naysayers wrong. You know, we're going to do it. It's going to be easy road to the Super Bowl. And they came out and they got punched in the mouth and they didn't know what the hell to do. And now you can see that this team is just ready to close that chapter and move on and squash that narrative. So it's going to be fun to watch them, you know, actually be able to do it and put it on the field instead of just talking about it. I'm sure they're sick of talking about it. They just want to get on the field. I know we're, you know, sick of having to think about that. I know some of us still got PTSD from 2019, but I'm ready to see them go to work, because I really do think that they have a chance to really dominate on this stage on Saturday.
I'm ready to see it. Let's do it. You know, a naysayer like me, I'm trying to see.
here's the funny part about 2019, and it kind of goes with the message about what's your weakness, you come to Jesus in the playoffs about your weakness. And in 2019, we talked about it the whole year. They blew up the linebacking core. Mm-hmm. In week four because of this issue. And when Big Bad Henry came in here and started bouncing people's heads off the ground,
crab dribbling them,
and made one dude run the other direction and just happened to get in his way, like, it was going to be a long day, because we never had an answer for it because of the type of defense we were at. So come here now and forever, this team is better equipped, better prepared, and has better coaching than they've ever had in since probably, wow, the golden age, 2003, 4, 5, when all those jokers were getting jobs.
Been a minute
with Marvin Lewis, yeah. Jack Del Rio, yeah. Vic Fangio, like, all those cats.
It's looking like some of them might be getting jobs this year.
I mean, dudes were coming in here being a defensive coordinator for a cup of coffee, and we're getting head coaching jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spagnuolo's career got reborn because he was a defensive coordinator here.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Harbs might have been on that rehabilitation program before Saban. Had his own.
He was through my program. And they were getting jobs left, right, and sideways. Like,
come through the Harbaugh rehabilitation program. We'll get you back on the street.
Ray Lewis was providing the cover.
That helps a lot. Helps a lot when you got somebody like that. Makes you look like a really good coach.
Wasn't there a special they were talking about that when all of them got together? All those coaches who got jobs.
Was that on the – or was it something else?
I think it was like HBO or something like that. Like it was
– Oh, all of Ray's coaches?
Yeah, like all of them sat down at a round table.
Yeah, I think they had Del Rio. They had Marvin Lewis. I forgot who else. Maybe Pagano.
Yep, they had him. I think not Rex, but Rob was Wink. Hmm. And maybe Rex was there. Maybe I get the two mixed up because they look the same. But yeah, they were sitting there talking about how jobs. I mean, somebody gave Rex Ryan a job.
Yeah. Hey, look, remember, what was it? 2018? Yeah. Bashotti was like, hey, halfway through the season, I wasn't real sure about John Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. Lamar got up in there. You talk about saving somebody's job and getting people jobs.
Okay, old building employee.
Yeah. And Lamar, you know, Lamar already got the whole hood on his back. Man, he got, you know, the other side of town. He carrying them too. He getting them jobs too. So they do have a very good staff. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit on Deep Cover a couple times. I don't know if it's John Harbaugh. So if I'm giving credit to the wrong person, look, I don't know the inner workings of everything, but you know, he's the head coach, whatever. But be willing to look outside of not just his team, not even just, you know, the league, to find good teachers, right? Go get Keith Williams, right? He was personal training. Go get Chuck Smith. He's personal pass rush. I mean, it's something that you kind of hadn't really seen. Because so much had been about, okay, well, they got to be in the league or at least coach in college. You know, they got to be with a team or whatever. Credit to him, though, for just, you know, kind of setting all that aside and just saying, hey, man, I want the best teachers. I don't care where they come from. If they're the best teacher, I want to get them up in here so they can help this team get better. So I give him credit for bringing those guys in because you've seen in those groups the difference, right? We talked about when they first got Keith, right, and Roman was still here, and he was like, man, are we really going to be able to see the impact he's having on these wide receivers in this offense? It was hard to see it. But then, you know, you've been able to see, you know, the impact. Look at him, you know, the guy like Zay. Now, look, Zay's got some stuff that you don't teach, but there's certainly some things that he probably has learned, and he's talked about a little bit how much they've helped him and the dude they brought in from the Eagles or Chiefs, too. Their wide receiver coach, Greg, I'm blanking on his last name, but Greg Lewis. Yeah. We've seen the improvement in that group. And then in the pass rush group, maybe the biggest improvement, like what those guys have done, because everybody ate on that side. Clowney, Van Noy, Matabike, everybody eating on that side. So you see, you know, the impact that those guys have. So credit to him, man, or whoever, whether it was a group effort, Bashotti, whoever was involved, credit to whoever was a part of bringing guys like that in, because you could tell he just wanted to get the best staff that he could get to give his guys opportunity to grow and develop. And you know, now you're getting to see the fruits of that labor. Shoot, Chuck Smith need to get a job off this. Give him a job somewhere else off the season that he's had, because people thought Clowney was done. Van Noy was sitting on the couch. You know what I'm saying? Matabike had the potential, but, you know, it kind of hadn't all clicked yet. But, shoot, you look at what those guys have done this year. It's crazy. So I'll be looking at that, too, because the Texans' O-line, man, Tunsil was a stud. We all know about him at left tackle. Shaq Mason is a legit dude, too, their right guard. But outside of that, it's a little iffy over there. Drew Scruggs been playing well left guard, but their center, their right tackle, like we talked about, Fant is probably going to be out. I don't know. It's not looking. He's not trending towards playing in this game. So Charlie Heck will be back in there. So, you know, it could be some blood in the water situations for those guys up front. I keep thinking about Mike Pierce on their center because I was watching what Grover Stewart did to their center from the I was like, we got one here, boy. You get him and Travis Jones singled up on that dude. What's his name? Michael Dieter. It could be rough.
You're gonna be ready to call the authorities.
Call them, man. Call them.
That's gonna be very important. I need to see the veracity in that pass rush. And they have to make CJ Stroud bail out and to his right or left. He's not. I'd rather him not go to his left. That's where you want him to go. But I don't mind him going right if he's even flush. Him stepping up in the pocket is a problem.
Yeah.
But him getting out on the edges, he's not very athletic in that sense. He ain't going to run away from you. He'll gut you straight up the middle for 15, 20. He's not going to do like a fake slide. Like, am I allowed to say that out loud? Am I going to be cursed by the quarterback gods?
He ain't going to duck his shoulder and run over a DB, is he?
Make a slide to get a 60-yard touchdown to break the game open. I mean, hey, whatever floats your boat, right?
That's a whole nother character over there. We'll have another time to talk about that character if they win their game. But those are the type of X factor type dudes that some of these teams have in the playoffs. Lamar obviously is that type of factor. Allen is that type of factor. The Mahomie, you can talk about however they played all during the season, but playoff Mahomes is a different is a different animal. So you still got to deal with him. So that's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out on their side too, because they got a rematch from last year for that game, which was crazy. So that's going to be a fun one to watch too. But anything else y'all want to say on this Ravens game that we ain't already said? Any specific matchups you looking forward to or anything, you know?
I have a question for you. You and Denard, you are the local guys, about, you know, this is the weather reports segment of the show.
Okay.
What is the weather going to be like that day?
Put your meteorologist.
So it's supposed to be somewhere in the high teens.
Okay.
With general wind somewhere around 13 miles an hour with gusting up to 30.
Blustery conditions.
It's going to be cold. It is not going to be fun to get smacked in the mouth if you don't want to be smacked in the mouth. So here's one of those games where if you can smack a team like the Texans in the mouth early.
A dome team.
Uh-huh. And that stuff started to hurt a little bit. You can roll quick. Yeah, but if you get excited about the cold and they're playing well, then it's you can see it in the Miami game. Miami stopped playing once they were down, what was it, 18-7 or something like that? 19-7. Like, they stopped playing because they knew. I'm done getting punched in the mouth. I'm cold, tired.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't scored since the first drive of the game. Like, I'm good.
They did the Roberto Duran and said, no mas.
No mas.
No mas. They made a couple people turn it down. Kerry mentioned that Detroit game. They made Jared Goff turn it down. That wasn't about the weather. That's about getting hit.
Yeah, that's the other part. That's the other part of this. Like,
he'd had
there has been a string of quarterbacks.
Man, they've knocked some dudes out this year.
I was watching the 86 Giants and 49ers NFC Championship game, and an image flashed up about how the Giants in the last 3 weeks had just pummeled quarterbacks, like knocked them out of games. And then like the next clip is Joe Montana getting knocked senseless in the 86 game. And I'm just like, that was – what the Giants' identity was, which was punch you in the mouth. And if you didn't like it, I'm going to keep punching you in the mouth. And then they had an offense, which was really good with Sims. They just never got the credit because their defense was just a banger. I mean, when you got Lawrence Taylor, Peppers Johnson, that crew running wild with Carson on the outside making people's life miserable, who can't run outside. Like, this is what you have to do in cold weather.
Ravens had that streak, right? It was Tannehill, and knocked him out. Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, before that, Watson.
Yep.
Right. Then Burrow. They get Trevor Lawrence.
They got Trevor Lawrence.
They got Trevor Lawrence. So they had him.
They knocked Stafford senseless. He stayed, but that's just Houdini.
Hey. Well, I saw Stafford guy hitting that Detroit game. Remember I showed that clip? I said, man, that dude's eyes rolled back in his head. I was like,
he bounced off the turf and said, the heavens said, we're taking your soul, Matt. He's like, no, not yet. Back up. Like, oh, I'm still in the football game.
It looked like somebody unplugged
him. He holding his leg, man.
It looked like somebody unplugged him, and then they plugged him back in. Because then his eyes rolled back down. He's like, whoa, I'm back. He's like, I'm back. I was like, I know they're not about to let this man come back on the field because he was out. And I don't think they even checked him.
No, they didn't. They knocked Tua out.
He came back the next series.
The only one they didn't knock out was Mason Rudolph.
Oh, that's right. Tua. Yeah, they got Tua too. That's right.
They got Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Yeah. They got, dang.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They got like six, seven dudes.
They hit Geno Smith so hard, he didn't play well for the rest of the season. Go back and watch the tape. Did Geno Smith play well after that? No.
He kind of fall off a little bit.
Stole his soul.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely was beating quarterbacks on. There's no question about that. They had a streak. They had a little run this year where they were beating dudes up. But, you know, it's been fun to talk about them all year, man, because they've been physical. They've been fast. You know, it's just a defense that, historically, you know, that's kind of the vibe in Baltimore, right, about defense and having good defenses. But, you know, they had a little bit of a lull there for a couple of seasons, but they right back. You know what I mean? They're right back where they've been historically. And I'm not going to do the comparisons. You know, after the season is over, you can look back and talk about all of that and how they stack up with other Baltimore defenses. But they're very, very good. That's what I will say about them right now. But, yeah, that's the weather. Supposed to be cold, some wind, gusts. And Denard has talked about ever since they put them new boards in the stadium, how that wind is kind of weird up in there.
Weird.
Yeah, it kind of swirls in a weird kind of way. So kicking game, man. I know we don't normally spend a lot of time on special teams, but I'm just saying that could be a factor in this game too. You got Duvernay coming back, you know, because I think Wallace has been ruled out for this game. So Duvernay will probably be back there returning kicks. And punts. I assume he'll be doing both again. So, you know, just little things, because those are the things that can turn a game, man. You get a turnover at any point in the game, but you know, a special teams play here or there. We've seen it this year when, you know, Chris's son had to walk off against the Rams. I mean, it can literally win a game. It can literally turn a game around. So don't sleep on the special teams impact. You know, it was enough to talk about with both of these teams with their defenses and their offenses, but it's a part of the game that you get, you know, you sleep on it, but it only takes one play and again, it can turn things around. But yeah, man, anything else y'all want to hit on? Are we good? Y'all what? Predictions? We doing predictions? We usually don't, but why not? Playoffs. Why not?
All right, I'm going to go first. I'm terrible at predictions, so I'll get the bad one out the way. I'm going to say
24-10. Okay.
Ravens. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I'm assuming. It would say Chris getting to step out there. He getting to do something different.
I'm going to go 27-17 Ravens.
Okay.
I'll do 24-17 Ravens.
Okay. You know, I'm gonna take the cop out. I'm gonna copy what they did week one. I'm gonna go 25-9. They keep the Texans out of the end zone.
I'll be happy with that one.
Field goal. I guess a nine. It could be a touchdown and a safety. Whatever. I'm gonna go 25-9. Kind of a weird score, wacky score, because of the weather. You know, it's gonna be a little chilly. It's gonna be windy. You got a dome team and a quarterback from South Florida. So,
so the way you just put that is just like, yeah. That's a different vibe. I'm talking.
Well, look, we gotta be real. Weather can affect Lamar a little bit. We gotta be real about it. The weather has had, you know, an effect on him in different ways. It used to be rain at first, right? Remember his first two seasons, rain was like kryptonite. Anytime it rained, it was like, oh no.
You come from South Florida, you
yeah. But the cold, you know, he's certainly gotten, you know, I mean, he talked about it in Louisville. He's like, got cold in Louisville. We played in the cold. So I'm not saying he can't play in the cold, but I do think, you know, it can affect you, you know, affects different guys in different ways. But
I think he changed his grip to help him.
Yeah. Okay.
In the cold weather. Because I think that was a lot of his issues early on, was he couldn't throw his grip didn't allow him to throw tight spirals in the cold weather. Hmm. So if you can't throw spirals in the cold weather, that's why Joe is still good.
Yeah, because that ball gets slicker. Mm-hmm. It gets harder.
If you can't spin it.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe could throw it in any weather to any team. His team. The other team. Didn't matter, man. I didn't want to see Joe go out like that. I didn't really care, you know, whether the Browns won or not, but I didn't want to see Joe go out like that. But, you know, it is
what he knows. He's going to go down swinging, though.
He ain't gonna stop throwing the ball. Yeah. That's one thing about him. Yeah. That dude is he doesn't always come across this way because he's not like a big brag, you know, talking smack type of dude outwardly. But me and you've talked about it now. He does not lack for confidence. He ain't never lacked for confidence. Never. Yes. He definitely believes in his ability. There ain't no question about that. But you know, it didn't go his way. Last week,
like you don't know if them bullets gonna land, but you know that clip gonna be empty at
the end. Right? Yeah.
Ain't gonna be nothing left. And now they got a little decision. You know, they gonna bring him back. You know what they gonna do? Does he still want to play? You know what I'm saying? You got Deshaun. You know, I mean, it's gonna, they've been fired everybody on the offensive side from the head coach, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But anyway, we had plenty of time for all off-season talk. All right, we all made our predictions. We all picked the Ravens. You know, usually on the TV shows when everybody picks the same team, that's usually a bad sign. But in this case, it's going to be a good sign because the Ravens are going to take care of business and get to that AFC chip, man. Get to that AFC chip. That's going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to it. My son got work on Saturday. 5 to 9, so I'm probably gonna have to go out while the game is on before and coming back home. Probably not, but they'd probably be done by the time to go get him. But
hey, you need my Comcast login so you can watch it on your phone.
I turn on the radio, man. I go old school. I turn on the radio and I listen to Sandusky and Rod Woodson on the radio. I love listening to Rod, man, because at this point, I think he's just trolling. He loves to say Marlon Humphreys. Marlon's not even playing, but he'll find a way to say it. He loves calling him Humphreys. It's Marlon Humphreys.
I got one thing to report, and I think my head's going to explode, but it's kind of hilarious. Ohio State just hired Bill O'Brien as their offensive coordinator.
You're joking.
No, I am not.
What did you say, offensive coordinator?
Offensive coordinator.
Lord have mercy.
Yes, he said.
How do these cats still keep getting jobs? God,
man, Ryan Day, man, I don't know, man. You saddling up your horse to
death.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess was he there with Bryce Young at Bama? Was he Bryce Young's OC?
I think he was.
Yeah,
that was his first year because. Was Lane Kiffin like the first 2 years of Bryce?
I don't remember who was there. That's a good question.
Yeah, I think it was Kiffin.
If it was that, it was Steve Sarkisian, one of the two.
One of the rehabs.
Yeah, one of the rehabs. One of the, yep.
All of them rehabs. All three of those dudes is rehabs, including O'Brien.
I don't get it.
It's crazy out there, man. Where these coaches are going down. Belichick out. Saban retired. You know, Carroll, you know, man, it's crazy how all these guys who've been, you know, around, established guys, and it's all shaking up, man. But I tell you what, they said, Belichick had his second interview with the Falcons. I don't know if he's really trying to go there or not, but if you just need 50, I think they say he just need 15 more wins to set the all-time record. He couldn't have picked a better division.
He really couldn't
have picked a better one.
That's a barbecue chicken alert right there. Barbecue chicken.
That's what I'm saying. That man know how to pick a division because they had the AFC East on lock for all them years until Josh Allen got up there in Buffalo. But then you look at that NFC South, and it's like, man, that joint is wide open. I mean, I know Baker, you know, played, you know, well this year, and the Bucks, you know, were able to take it. But you think about that team, you think about the Saints, you think about the Falcons, you think about the Panthers, you're just like, shoot, I can get 15 wins. Give me a season or two. Yeah. I get 15 wins out this draft, and then I can sail off into the sunset. So I don't know if that's where he gonna end up at, but I'm like, hey, if you just looking at the division and where can I get what gives me the best chance to get to 15 wins? That's probably the one right there. That's probably the division.
And they have a really nice roster too.
Yeah, they just need a quarterback.
And then you away from Mahomes, Amar, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Like, you don't got to face none of these dudes until, you know, potentially the Super Bowl if you can get them back, you know, where they need to be at. Just got to find them a quarterback. But, I mean, in that division, he can let them pick the quarterback. Flip a coin.
Yeah. I don't care. Get whatever quarterback you want. I'm going to run this defense over here. Y'all get whoever you want over there. I just need to get these 15. Let me get 8 this year, 8 and 8 next year, and then I'm up out of here. But yeah, there ain't no way. When he left, I was like, there ain't no way that dude ain't coaching again. 15 wins away from the all-time record?
Yeah.
You definitely going somewhere to try to get that.
Because he can still coach. He can still coach defense with the best of them.
Sure.
But, yeah. You know, he just can't be in charge. Like, you know, let somebody else pick the players. You do what you do.
But do you think he'll do that at this point? Because he's had that role.
That's the question, yeah. And that's why, you know, I was very vocal about New England having to let him go, because you can't demote Bill Belichick if you're the Patriots. You just can't. There's no way he's going to accept that, you know, in that situation. So, as you know, for them to evolve, they had to let him go. And the question is he going to evolve in Atlanta? Because I mean, that he has all the leverage in the situation. He could tell them, hey, I don't want to come unless I got full say. And you know, the struggle bus that Atlanta has been, they gonna take it. You know, it'll be like the Patriots situation all over again. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how these conversations go. And it sounds like the GM is involved with the second interview and all of that. So we'll see if, you know, that means he's still going to actually have power, or, you know, Bill is going to come in and kind of take things over.
Yeah, because somebody, I remember what podcast I was listening to, and they were like, how do you think this Falcons interview is going? Do you think Bill Belichick is flying down there? They're like, no. Arthur Blank coming to him. Arthur Blank coming up to wherever he live at and saying, all right, Bill, what you want? What you want, man? What's it going to take to get you down here? Yeah. We'll give you this. We'll give you that. But I'm like, you really could. I get it, right? His track record, the history and everything. But you really could be like, look at the last couple of years since Brady left, though, man. Like, I get everything you did in the past. However. Once Tom Brady left, it kind of fell apart, you know, real talk. It kind of fell apart up there. I think, Mac Jones, I think he made the Pro Bowl his rookie year or something like that, you know. But then after that, you bringing in Patricia to coach offense. I mean, what was you doing, man? What was you doing up there? So you might be able to, like, okay, I know your history, your track record and all of that. You got skins on the wall, but that was with Brady.
Yeah, anytime the dude got a pencil, I think Bomani Jones pointed this out, but anytime the dude got a pencil in his ear, and you see that the play sheet is laminated so you actually can't write on it, we got problems.
Hey, if they hire him, you got to put that in the contract. But Mac Patricia cannot come here. Okay. If you come here, you got to put him in a dress. Do something like with Cat Williams. you got to wear
a dress or something. Man, I did some quick research on some few cats.
Who been in dresses? You got the dress list?
Well, it's not in that. It's who's not been in a dress.
Okay. Okay.
And it's just interesting looking at brothers and non-brothers.
Yeah.
And the one that sticks out the most is Tom Hanks, because he wore a dress.
Mm. He wore a dress?
He wore a dress in his SNL skits.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He had that really famous skit with some other dude. They wore dresses.
Man, so. Look. Everybody who Cat hit coming out of that thing, they've had some kind of response, right? Some people tried to clap back. Ludacris like made a song. People had different
talk about the stuff.
People had different, yeah. They didn't really get into it, but that one dude, the dude who what's his name? He said, "Look, y'all don't want me. You need to go get so and so." He was like, "What was he in Big Mama's House too, or whatever?" He came out and said, "Look, what Cat said is true." He said, "My whole career went downhill ever since I put that dress on." He was like, "My personal life, my relationship with my woman went bad. I couldn't get no jobs." He said, "Everything went downhill after I put on that." He went so far as to say he thought he was cursed.
that sounds like a him problem.
He said, "Hey, ever since I put on that dress." W Cat said it. Don't do it, man.
Don't do it.
Put that thing on. Don't put that thing on and see what happened to you. I think that's the perfect way to end it, man. We start getting into Cat Williams because that'll turn into a whole nother. Because Cat unpacked a lot of stuff.
He understood the assignment of 2024. He just ushered it in.
He
unpacked. You ain't lying on people anymore. It's facts driven.
Shannon gonna lose a lot of friends, man, because a lot of them people with Shannon's friends, they'd be like, "Man, why you had this naysayer on here talking about us like that, man?"
Shannon shot back and said, "Well, I had your friends on." Like, yeah.
He said, "Look, I just gave him a mic. He said what he said. What you want to do me?" All right, y'all. Look, listen, we're gonna get out of here. Hey, hope everybody is safe. Right, if you're in the DMV area or up north, anywhere where you got snow, everybody be careful, be safe out there. You know what I'm saying? Hope you enjoy the game coming up this weekend, and hopefully, come next week, we'll be talking about a win and the Ravens getting ready to go to the AFC Championship game. So, we'll be back for that for darn sure. And if they get to the Super Bowl, man, look, I can't get in. I know I can't afford no Super Bowl ticket, but I think I got to go this time. I said I was gonna go last time, and I ain't go. I was like, I'm just gonna go down to New Orleans and just like be there. I know I ain't getting in the game, and I'm just gonna be there. But wow. this time I think I gotta be there though, for real. I think I really do if they get there. Just to be around the vibe. So one step at a time though. Gotta get this one against the Texans first. So hey, y'all be good. We're gonna get out of here. Peace.